Hey, welcome to the CEO Anonymous podcast with Pradeep Sangha, a captivating platform designed for CEOs, business owners, and entrepreneurs like you. Our goal is to provide insightful answers to your burning business or personal performance questions. So join our panel of experts as they share their powerful wisdom and expertise. We greatly appreciate your participation. And to submit your questions, simply go to askpradeep.com. Now let's get to the show and delve into the heart of today's question.
So welcome back to another episode. I'm excited because I have a neighbor here who lives not too far from me. And we've had some great conversations in the past. And we're going to be tackling this one question. This question is, how does a CEO run effectively run an organization when you have multiple partners or shareholders? That can always be a challenge. So here today to answer this question is Vinay Khosla. He is the CEO of Bateman McKay. Welcome, Vinay. I appreciate you taking the time here to share your wisdom with our audience.
Pradeep, it's my pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, so maybe you can give us a quick rundown in terms of who you are, who's Vinay, how did you get here, maybe a little bit about your personal background as well.
Certainly. Sure. I'm CEO of Bateman McKay. It's a full-service mid-market accounting firm. We're about 58 to 60 staff and growing. And I've had the pleasure of being CEO of Bateman McKay for the last year and a half. The firm has actually evolved considerably over the last 14 years. So I acquired the firm back in November of 2009. I acquired the firm from a sole practitioner who had passed away, unfortunately. That's the late Mr. Gary Bateman. He passed away without a succession plan. And he died about 4 months before I did the acquisition. So at the time I acquired the firm, the firm was effectively down to only four team members. Many of the staff had left, and as had the clients, because they didn't know who would be taking care of their accounting and tax planning needs. So I did the acquisition through an estate. And at the time, I was cook, cleaner, and bottle washer. One person show. So yes, I was CEO, I was COO, I was CFO, I was all of the above. So I knew this is not my end game. I did see a big void in the Canadian accounting marketplace for high quality, multidisciplinary CPA firms, which is why I decided to get into partnership to begin with. So shortly after I did this acquisition, I reached out to one of my partners, current partners, and at the time he obviously wasn't my partner, a gentleman I'd worked with in a prior lifetime for a number of years, Mr. John Doma. So John looked at what my plan and vision was, and he knew me already fairly well, and we complemented each other's skill set perfectly. So he was more on the accounting side of the practice, while I was a tax expert. So as a 1-2 combination, there were tremendous, and I hate using this word, but synergies, but in terms of the value-added proposition to mid-market business owners. And we decided we'd work together as partners and see if our hunch was right, that there was a tremendous void for mid-market firms. Because the market direction was going the other way, in the sense that most mid-market accounting firms were being acquired by the national or multinational accounting firms. So we were kind of going counter trend.
And I think that's still kind of happening a little bit, right? You still see the big players.
Quite a bit. quite a bit. There's quite a bit of acquisitions in the space, and I would suggest there's a bit of a hollowing out of the mid-market accounting firm, which is a significant reason that speaks to our growth trajectory, effectively going from 4 or 5 total people to growing more than almost 12-fold in the span of 14 years or so. So it's been quite a ride. And then we've seen the partnership evolve over time. So in the sense that it was about a year and a half ago where we decided, as the number of staff grew, we admitted first principals, which are non-equity partners, into the firm, that we made equity partners into the firm. So at present, we're sitting at 5 partners, of which 4 are equity partners and 1 is on his way to being an equity partner. So we have actually 5 cooks in the proverbial kitchen. And what happens is it's easy for people to go outside their cooking station, so to speak, to use that analogy. So about a year and a half ago, we decided to create some more order and help clearly define people's roles inside the partnership. And although we're a partnership, I think this applies to almost any business, that, you know, where you start by, and I see this all the time in my client base, when you see 2 arms length or even non-arms length people, related people that are kind of working together, it's like, okay, why are you together? Which circles back to John and I, why are we together? It's because we had complementary skill sets and we didn't need capital from one another. It was just skill sets and being able to effectively service our clients, but differently. So that's how the partnership started. And then it kind of evolves where we're kind of managing the partnership very informally, like at the water cooler, so to speak, to use that analogy. And then you start to grow. And then we expanded locations. So our original location was in Burlington. And then we expanded and acquired more office space across from Square One in Central Mississauga. So we naturally said, okay, one partner runs this office, when the other partner runs this other office. So then what are we doing, right? And how do we manage this ship that is now a bit more spread out as well? The water cooler situation isn't always tenable. So then additional partners came into the fold, and now it's like managing them as well, in addition to our respective books of business and other roles and responsibilities. So about a year and a half ago, we decided to change how we're structured. So many partnerships are, especially in accounting and legal profession, you basically have a bunch of pretty smart people who are technically savvy and do a pretty good job. And one of them, typically the individual who brings in the most business, is the de facto managing partner. And that's not an uncommon structure for many accounting law practices. But in our case, we felt we want to really pin down how we work on the business and clearly define who does what. Otherwise, what happens is the partnership ship becomes very cumbersome, where everyone is smart, everyone has an opinion, and it takes too much time to get things done.
Yep.
So we then created roles about a year and a half and change ago, whereby, okay, we looked at the skill set of the existing partners, and we basically allocated duties with those duties came a title. So I drew the short straw and ended up being CEO. And one of my other partners assumed the role of COO, and another partner assumed a kind of a department, a service, a line of business head role, being audit and assurance. So one of our partners runs that line of business, which is a major line of business of the firm, very important from a strategy standpoint. And then another partner heads up the tax line of business, the tax services line of business. Again, another major line of business of strategic importance. So
right now, it sounds like you have five equity partners, sorry?
Four equity and one working his way towards equity.
Oh, yeah, sorry, you're going to be close to. And then how many non-equity partners?
One.
Okay, so it's just that. Okay.
So, and we've recently kind of promoted one of our team members who is senior manager to principal, and that's how we look at our future succession. You know, we establish paths to partnership. How do you get from manager to senior manager to principal, and principal to partnership? Non-equity and then equity partnership. So it's a bit of a roadmap.
That's good. It's a career development plan, let's just say, or a business development in terms of growth within your own business. So
yeah.
So let's get back to that question then that we have, which is, how do you manage when you have multiple partners? So these are individuals. So you're the CEO, you have other partners that have an equity stake. So how do you effectively run when you have partners that have the same skin in the game, and you're the person that, I guess, no, I'm not going to say ultimately calls the shots, but you're the CEO, right? So I'm assuming that the majority of the operations are and the bigger decisions go to you first. And what is that? Do you also have an advisory group? Like, is that partnership group an advisory group that you go to, or how do you make those major decisions?
Sure. So excellent question. So it starts with roles and responsibilities, and they're clearly defined and they're documented for each top management. So it's almost like we've separated shareholder from what you do to run the business. Okay, so in the future we could easily have a partner who has little to no management responsibility in the firm, and basically, but they're still a partner in the firm. So what we have is clearly defined roles and responsibilities for each particular partner. So for example, very specifically, I'll have, I'm responsible for, coming up with in conjunction with my advisory board, my team, is we all need buy-in, like a strategic plan, a vision, and I own it. A couple years ago, I put forward a 5-year strat plan, and we figured out what we need to do to achieve those goals and objectives in that strategic plan. And we put, let's say, different milestones in place. So I'm responsible for the firm overall hitting those milestones. So in very, very simply put, that's my overall responsibility. And then there's obviously specific responsibilities, which could include things like, being that outward figure of ahead of the firm. So implicit in that is that it's expected that I attend certain externally facing events, keep in touch with key stakeholders, whether it be Canada Revenue Agency, whether it be key clients, key centers of influence, being the face of the firm externally. While the COO, for example, in a nutshell, his roles and responsibilities are very much internal, like making sure that the ops team of the firm, like HR, IT, marketing, and overall administration, is they're doing the right things, and we, in support of the strat plan.
Interesting.
Which we monitor regularly. So we each have our role, and then tax department has his metrics and roles and responsibilities. So does the audit and assurance team head, team lead. So that's how we've kind of split it up. And then what we do at the end of the day is we report to each other on a monthly basis. So we get together as a partnership month. All partners get together monthly, and we've got an agenda where I talk about CEO stuff within my roles and responsibilities. We usually circulate a report 24 to 48 hours in advance of that meeting. We've all had a chance to review that report. And then for many sections of our meeting, it's like, okay, does anyone have any questions on HR activity during the month? Right. Okay. And then, or any comments or anything to add or any suggestions. And it's kind of how we hold each other accountable, so to speak.
And so who do you ultimately report to? Like, do you have is it the partner body? Who determines how well you're doing in your role?
Who determines how well? That's an excellent question. It's the partner. It's the shareholders. It's the partners as a whole.
Partners as a whole. And do you guys have a process for that? Or is that kind of more still, like you're saying, kind of the water cooler style?
It's the next evolution of, again, we've had this kind of structure is fairly contemporary. It seems to be working out well. It's keeping partners in their lane. So you don't have one partner suddenly going, okay, we got to do this certain, start allocating resources in one direction, which may be a pretty good idea, but, run it through the right channels.
Yeah, exactly.
So the last year has been more ensuring we all kind of understand better our lanes and kind of stay within them. And I think the next evolution, as you've quite of this, is rightfully to like report to each other and take feedback in terms of how we're doing. We've got, let's say, in my particular backyard, I've got kind of 8 major responsibilities that get broken down to maybe 16 or 17 specific rules, things that I have to do. So I guess what we're kind of talking about is, now let's figure out a way to like red light, green light, yellow light, those, like how am I doing on these various items?
Interesting. And what would you say is the biggest challenge when it comes to being a CEO where you have multiple partners?
The biggest challenge is sometimes trying to keep a one firm culture. Everyone comes from different backgrounds, and they have, and in this case, I think though I'm fairly blessed in the sense that my partnership group, we're very, very like-minded. And we're very driven and very focused. And we get along well outside, you know, the partnership. So, you know, there can be meetings where it's fairly heated. We could have a heated debate about something, but as soon as the meeting ends, okay, you know, it's no bad blood.
Interesting. So how long do you see yourself? Like, for your role as a CEO, is it a time period typically that you are in the role for? Because I know some firms, for example, they circulate and they say, okay, you know, the CEO role goes for 3 years, 4 years, or 5 years, whatever that looks like. For your firm, have you determined whether it's a specific time frame, or do you see yourself in this role kind of indefinitely?
At this stage, our partnership agreement tentatively calls for a 2-year cycle. But that's to be determined. We could easily make it a rolling 2 years, and you know, the old philosophy, it ain't broke, why fix it?
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, it's interesting because you're in this space, which is absolutely critical for businesses and for business owners, right? It's something that business owners can't get away from. It's regulations, right? You know, there's a requirement to file your taxes, have audits, and do things properly because of the tax bodies, and that's important here. But obviously, there's other things that you do as well. Where do you see the future of accounting firms going forward?
You know, it's a very challenging landscape right now. A big issue facing accounting firms more than anyone. Pretty much anyone other than perhaps medicine, is staff shortages. Even pre-COVID, the profession had a significant shortage in staff. And I think in the sense that there's fewer and fewer kids effectively running through accounting programs and choosing public accounting as their profession of choice. So that got compounded with obviously a growing economy, which has a greater need for CPAs. And then furthermore, you know, the baby boomer generation, you know, retiring, and many of them on an accelerated basis. So, you know, it's just compounded itself. So that's the biggest challenge our profession has. And having your human resources in line and doing a great job on HR, in my opinion, is the single biggest critical success factor for any accounting firm out there. It's a significant challenge. A disproportionate portion of every partner meeting we have is devoted to human resources.
Interesting. And so I have kind of one last question for you here, which is, so from the perspective of a business owner, let's just say there's business owners out there, there's CEOs that are running businesses, what should they look for when it comes to an accounting firm or someone that can help them with auditing or with their tax expertise? What are two or three things that they should be looking for?
They have to look at what they want to do. Like if they're a growing firm, it depends what stage they're in. But generally speaking, I'm a big fan of the mid-market multidisciplinary professional services model, whether it's legal or accounting, because business owners don't know what they don't know. And sometimes you know, the world is just getting so complicated. Increasing amounts of tax regulation, other regulations, it's just sometimes overwhelming. You need that multidisciplinary focus whereby, you know, in many cases, the firm is working together to service the client. So like a partner could pop into my office and go, what's your opinion of this? Right? They should be looking for a firm with that multidisciplinary mid-market focus with some bench strength that's not flying so low to the ground. So like, you know, if something happens to your guy, there's somebody else that can pick up that torch and keep things going. And again, I think the world is too complicated to be a jack of all trades in the accounting profession these days and master of none.
Interesting. So what do you think will happen? Do you think, because obviously there's the big firms are, well, not all big firms, but a lot, some of the big firms are gobbling up other organizations like MNPs kind of, you know, they're out there gobbling up a number of firms all the time. What do you think is going to happen in the next 5 years? Do you think it's going to be, you know, you're going to have large firms and then super small ones? What do you think? Or do you think that mid-tier, that they're positioned well, like your firm, positioned well to continue? Because you guys are doing things a little bit unique, right? Like you said, you're focusing on HR. You've grown fast. Where do you think the future is going to be?
Well, I think given staffing shortage, I mean, the future has to be a combination of AI and offshoring. To make up for the staff shortage. So that's where I think the ultimate future has to lie. And partners of accounting firms have to be focused on their client relationship management skills in addition to really being that business advisor and not being so focused on the debits and credits. So that's where I see how a well-rounded accounting partner kind of has to progress towards. Now, they need to be able to perform in that manner in a firm that's like flexible and can accommodate, that can give them the HR support they need to service their respective clients. So I do see increasing and continued consolidation in our profession. And many of the super small guys are within a few years of retirement. Many of them are continuing to practice, but perhaps in a reduced capacity, just given their ability to keep going. So I'm not, and I think the world is too complicated for that model to sustain itself, except in very limited circumstances where, like, you know, it's a, your clients are like small grocery stores with, or corner stores, or, you know, that aren't looking, that are not subject to third-party users of financial statements. I actually really think the consumer, being the business owners, there's a lack of choice and competition.
Interesting.
And that's good. And that's going to continue. And pricing is going to continue to increase. I've heard from many many firms have increased their prices to keep up with staff salaries. They've increased them considerably.
So I guess for the business owners out there, for those you CEOs who are not running accounting firms, be prepared to pay a little bit more. So, Vinay, I want to thank you for your wisdom, your insight, and coming and sharing your time and energy with us here today. For business owners, for CEOs, those particularly who live in Ontario, Canada, where should they go? What is your website and what is your email? We'll put that in the show notes as well, so it's easier for people to understand. But how can people get a hold of you?
Our website is Bateman, B-A-T-E-M-A-N, McKay, M-A-C-K-A-Y.com. There's a contact us, email address form that you can complete. And then my email address, vkosla@batemanmcgate.com. I know it's way too long. That's why we're going to post that separately. Those are simple and easy ways to get to me directly or indirectly.
Great. Well, thank you so much, Vinay.
And I'm on LinkedIn. So you can just search me up on LinkedIn. Vinay, V-I-N-A-Y, last name Kosla, K-H for Harry, O, S for Sam, L for Larry, A, Kosla.
Yeah, there you go. LinkedIn is a great way, obviously, to connect with business professionals. So please, out there, when you're listening, tune in to the next episode, but also connect with Vinay. So thanks, Vinay, again for your time. Appreciate it.
Pradeep, my pleasure. Thank you so much.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode. If you got value from the show, we have one simple ask. Please go to your favorite podcast platform and hit subscribe. We'll see you next time.